Going on the Howard Stern was embarrassing, like a verbal speculum that opened me up to a brand of vulnerability I had never encountered, and it was one of the best experiences of my professional life. I'd always loved Howard. When he finally came on in L.A. in 1991, my radio mentor, Tammy Hyde, and I would listen, starting at 3 in the morning, as this new world of broadcasting unfolded, long before I even dreamed of making MTV a reality. Howard, in his first few days on the air, said something that profoundly affected me, and whenever I broadcast, I think of it to this day. If you have the opportunity to talk into a microphone, make sure you say something. Be funny, be smart, give people something to think about, but know that it's an honor. And never waste a moment. He was so right. And though back then I had not yet broadcast my first show as a part-time DJ, I promised myself that if and when I had that chance, I would use my powers for good. Don't know if you've lived up to that, Kennedy. I would sprinkle my brilliance and wit on eager, listening ears. Or I would make people vomit for Morrissey tickets. Same. Howard was reaching new levels in the 90s. He came into the quintessential radio town, Los Angeles, where people spent the majority of time in their cars, and radio and its personalities are staples and as important to people's communities as gasoline and handguns. Those who know the market well predicted Howard would be a miserable failure in L.A. This would be his Waterloo. He was too much of a New Yorker, and no one would want to hear his raunchy brand of self-focus. He was diametrically opposite from successful L.A. radio hosts, Rick Dees, Mark and Brian, Jay Thomas. Now those were L.A. success stories. Some Long Island loudmouth would never gain the kind of traction necessary to eviscerate and dominate the competition like Howard had in other markets. But I was excited to hear him. Surely there were other people like me, right? Oh, hells yes. And we were all realizing in one relieved exhale just how fucking boring L.A. radio really was. Sorry, Rick. It took me a week to get used to Howard. I had heard his best of compilations and was well versed in the staff he kept around and berated on the show, Fred, Robin, Gary. But after the first few days, I wondered when he would stop talking to them and get around to the show. And then I got hooked, and that started a very unhealthy Howard habit that had me listening live to his broadcast on KLSX every morning starting at 3 a.m. I was no longer sleeping. I stopped showering and was twitchy without him during off hours. Tammy and I actually called Gary in the studio one morning because all Infinity stations had a directory of hotlines, and we could phone any sister station in the country, even WXRK. K-Rock in New York. Holy shit, we could reach Howard. We called, it rang, Gary picked up and sounded more than a little annoyed, as obviously other overnighters in various markets had had the same bright idea, and he seemed cheesed we were wasting his time asking dumb questions. What's Howard like? Can we go on the air? He was a good sport, but these queries wouldn't be answered in person for another 2 years when I'd be a guest on the Howard Stern Show. Unlike other radio or TV shows where the hosts come out to greet you and fawn over you before the broadcast, you don't meet Howard until you come face to face with him in the studio. And if you're lucky, you can hear his intro and then some if he and Robin get sidetracked detailing the story of your life before you get in there. No matter how much press I'd done, who I'd met and interviewed in my few months at MTV, there was nothing as surreal as hearing Howard Stern say my name and talk about me as a nobody before I got to look into his eyes. He admitted he was doing this. his publicist a favor by having me on. A friend of my manager had gotten the booking, and the intro was the equivalent of a broadcast mercy fuck. If you were incredibly unlucky, he'd skewer you, setting the stage for your flame-out as he solidified people's impression of you before you set foot in the studio and tried to shovel the shit back into the dead horse. Many a mortal had tried and failed utterly to steer the topic of conversation away from themselves and their fart parts on Howard's show. He always gets them with the anus. Everyone can handle boobs and wieners, but mercy, the second he goes for the corn, people just panic. I heard it a million times. Everyone thinks they're going to handle it. Every sucker is a moralist who promises to draw the line at buttholes, but the harder you fight, the easier you fail. I scream to the radio, "You just talk about your ass! It's no use!" There is a scientifically proven direct proportional relationship between hesitation and acquiescence when discussing one's own ass with Howard Stern. The harder you fight, the more you spill. It is Howard's law. Of course, I was prepared to tell Howard how he influenced my decision to pursue broadcasting, an easy job with good money, but I ended up, for the first time anywhere, discussing in detail my long-suffering virginity. It was something I'd alluded to on the radio, a subject addressed through informal proxies who told of my tight, inaccessible quarters and locked legs. But I never tackled the subject on my own in the press for the world to hear. There might have been implications and inferences, but the only public declaration I made was on Howard's show. And it wasn't just about my virginity, which was a subject of natural fascination to the world's great vaginologist. He also could not for the life of him reconcile how I denied myself the pleasure of vagina to penis intercourse. Yet I'd allowed the bear in the cave, meaning I had engaged in mouth to penis intercourse, which gave me virtually no pleasure, but in his words, kept me in control. He just kept saying, "You let a man's penis in your mouth, but you won't have sex with him?" Which was his estimation, full of half-truths, but it made me laugh, and I had no answer for it. I stammered and blushed, which is always plays well on radio, but I really had no answer because I'd never thought about it in those terms. Why were blowjobs okay? Pregnancy, I guess. He just kept playing a bear sound effect over and over again. You always anticipated your answers before you went on, Howard. You thought you'd have some witty comeback or confident line of deflection, but you end up getting really embarrassed and as he grounds you down to a nub, and then he knew he got you, like the late, thin Karen Carpenter. He'd only just begun. When you were put on the spot, which was certainly how those early sophists like Gorgias and Protagoras felt when they fell into Socrates' dialectical trap in Athens. You had no choice but to give in to the moment and reveal unspeakable truths you would never, ever dare utter in front of other humans, let alone in a most public forum. This was Howard's secret weapon, at least in the days before Sirius and the e-cameras. He smiled the goofiest goddamn smile at me and completely caught me off guard. I was not prepared for the kindness in the magical blue pools of his eyeballs. There was something safe about his azure eyes and his grandma grin that hypnotized me into thinking his words were innocuous and private. It was masterful. He made me feel like I was in a guarded, private discussion, safe from judgment, like he was the only one who understood my true motivation. And I spilled what little beans I had for his mockery and amusement. I cannot imagine what else I said on that show that morning. I never listened back to the tape, partly because I wanted the experience to remain pristine, but also because I'm sure I humiliated myself and don't want a reminder of how much I sounded like an ass. He asked me if I wanted to get naked since I loved him so much. No. So he tapped my stomach with the back of his hand, said, "Yeah, you're tight. Nice package there, but you have mother hips. Work on those." Bastard. It wasn't until I reflected on what I said that as I was walking down the hallway, realizing I could never take back the vag chat, that I started thinking, Oh, shit, what did I say? Can something I said on Howard Stern get me fired? I knew my mom didn't have Howard in Portland, so I was safe on that front, but everyone at the MTV offices and at the studio, Viacom bosses, rainmakers, and people with firing power were tuned in on their way to work. This was the only thing playing in people's cars on their commute into the city, period. And it started to sink in. I could be fresh out of a job while Howard was doing this. All of a sudden, blowjobs and cherries didn't seem so tasty after all. This was less than a year after Howard's Fartman stunt at the 1992 Video Music Awards, a scenario he documented as a failure in his book Private Parts and later reenacted in the movie. I didn't think it was a failure. My young love for Howard's show was still in its early blush, so he could do no wrong, but there were people at the network who were not wildly impressed by his assy shenanigans. I thought he used a dimply stunt ass, which to me seemed funny. Then I found out that it was his real booty, and I realized that he also has mom hips. Touché, mon frère. Howard was always obsessed with MTV. He was pursuing his own TV career, so this could have been a huge galvanizing moment that launched him into a greater stratosphere than he'd already known. Instead, it was funny to fans and people who loved him, but Howard's brand of magic did not have the same effect when he was thrust into a series of variables beyond his control. It was live, it was chaotic, it was mostly about music, and it was not his show. Three out of four of those elements suit him, but the third seemed to sink his battleship. Not as badly as he felt, but people might have walked away confused and not elevated. I wanted so desperately to go backstage and meet him that night, but I had not yet officially started my job, so I was juiceless, my passes were useless, and I'd have to wait a year until that hot summer morning, almost a year later, until I had my own confusing moment with the king. At least I didn't have to show him my ass. Lisa Kennedy Lee.